This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello and welcome to today's readings of selections from the February-March issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, you'll hear Candace Levy's 5 questions for narrator Michael Kramer. After that, we'll have reviews in biography, memoir, and history, including reviews of Ordinary Girls by Hakira Diaz, read by Almarie Guerra, Alan Cumming, Legal Immigrant, written and read by Alan Cumming, and Sontag, Her Life and Work by Benjamin Moser, read by Tavia Gilbert. Let's get right to it. 5 Questions with Michael Kramer by Candace Levy. To me, Michael Kramer's name is especially linked to Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time series. In fact, he's narrated all of the books in that popular series in collaboration with Kate Redding. Tens of thousands of fantasy fans have welcomed Michael into their lives via speakers, headphones, and earbuds as they listen to 14 audiobooks and well more than 400 hours of action, adventure, war, and politics set in an ancient world. If you're a fantasy fan, you may be surprised to learn that Michael is equally skilled at performing history, memoir, literary fiction, thrillers, children's stories, science fiction, and more. Audiophile, what is the one thing you wish you had known before you recorded your first audiobook? Michael Kramer, don't forget to tell the story. As a beginning narrator, you get so caught up in thinking about technique, correct pronunciation, breath control, and more that you forget to tell the story. All those things are important, but they are subservient to the story. It's a bit like a musician who plays every note correctly but isn't making music. It's your job to find the music, the story, that the author has created in the notes, the words, and their relationship to each other and the listener. And don't be afraid to make a mistake. You will crash and burn all the time. Narrating is all about breathing. The eye and mind don't need to breathe, but the voice does. This seeming handicap is actually an incredibly expressive tool. Breath frames the thought, maintains or releases tension, but the eye just sees the next word. Ha! Take that, eye. The clues in a text as to how to employ breath, however, are often very subtle and discovered only in the moment of interpretation. Belatedly. Oops! Crash and burn. And that's fine. Who knew you needed to breathe here to keep this thought together? Or if you breathe there, you release all the tension in the scene. Yes, someone recognized the clues sooner or more readily, but that is a skill in the craft that you will always be honing. Relax. Take the insight from the crash and then tell the story. Audiophile, what are you doing when you're not working? These days, I'm playing basketball, practicing yoga so I can play basketball, gardening, gotta have my hands in the dirt every so often, reading, both fiction and nonfiction, following baseball and fantasy baseball, and paying attention to U.S. politics and world affairs. In Minnesota, where I grew up, we grew most of our food. One year we harvested more than 12,000 pounds of potatoes. There is something very satisfying and grounding, no pun intended, about eating something that you harvested from your own garden. Generally more flavorful, too. I love to read, always have. Love stories, love finding out about things, love entering into dialogues with authors through books. I was always very inquisitive, and in a world without the internet, only 4 channels of television and phones with rotary dials, cords, and connected to the wall, reading was my way of exploring. Baseball has always been in my life. My dad played. He was really good, hitting 400-something with power for a state championship team. And when I was growing up, the game was always on the radio. I have many memories of sitting in my grandparents' kitchen playing bridge with a game on in the background. Living in the Washington, D.C. area, especially since the 2016 election, it has become really important to me to pay attention to what is happening in the world. Audiophile. What are some of the particular challenges of narrating nonfiction? Michael Kramer. The single most challenging aspect of narrating nonfiction is to remember that it is still a story, fact-based as it may be. I had the privilege of hearing David McCulloch speak at the Library of Congress Literacy Awards a few years ago. He talked about coming to Washington as a young man after Kennedy's election and working as a congressional staffer. As I recall, he said he was tasked with doing some research at the Library of Congress about the Johnstown flood, and as he gathered various photographs, accounts, and histories of the event, he found himself thinking, why are the histories so boring? This is exciting stuff. Why don't they write about it like it's a play? And I believe he said that someone challenged him, well, why don't you? So he did, and the rest is, well, history. The point being that he is an author who is well aware that he is telling a story. And if you've ever read anything by McCulloch, and if you haven't, please do, he's so good. You know it reads like a thriller. Not every nonfiction writer is so concerned with the form of the content they are recording, but your job as a narrator is to tell the story. Audiophile. What's your most embarrassing moment in the recording booth? Michael Kramer. At the Library of Congress Talking Books studio, I was narrating a story by Rick Bass. I believe it was Where the Sea Used to Be, very poetic, as Bass's work is. It was set in the American West, I think Montana, and there were some Basque shepherds calling out, Andale, andale, as the main English-speaking character was approaching. So I yelled, Andale, Andale, thinking Andale was some breed of sheep and not sure why the Basque shepherds were so intent on informing the main character as to the sheep's breed, but whatever. Of course, Andale is Spanish, pronounced Andale, meaning let's go, and the shepherds obviously were driving the sheep, but not obvious to me. Now, to be fair, as I recall, the whole section was in italics, and there was no accent on the first A. Fortunately, it was caught in corrections, but still, to this day at the studio, where there is a really silly mispronunciation, I will hear a chorus of, Andale, Andale. Audiophile. What are the pros and cons of recording a series? Michael Kramer. The pros are that you are familiar with the author's syntax and rhythm and style, so you have a better idea of how to narrate the later books in the series. You've already distilled the characters' voices and are familiar with the placements. The cons are that it can be several years since the last book of the series, or a character who was not appeared since book one shows up in book four and you think, what is that character voice? Good authors like Robert Jordan, Brandon Sanderson, and Donald E. Westlake tend to provide at least a thumbnail or shorthand description in the new book, either to remind the listener of who the character is or to introduce the characters to someone who hasn't started at the beginning of the series. The challenge for both the author and narrator is to get this across in such a way as to not bore the returning listener while making sure the new listener gets all the background. Also, with a lot of sci-fi and fantasy, you have newly minted names and terms which exist only in this book's world, so remembering how they are pronounced is challenging, especially before computers. Yes, there was a time. And that concludes Candace Levy's Five Questions with Michael Kramer. And here's a review of Warrior of the Altai, by Robert Jordan, read by Michael Kramer. Michael Kramer is familiar with the late Jordan's writing, having narrated, together with Kate Redding, the epic series The Wheel of Time. Now, his first novel has finally been published, a foreword to the audiobook by his widow and editor explains the delay of 40 years. This plot foreshadows some of the unique cosmology of The Wheel of Time, but it is standalone audiobook with no direct relationship to that series. With his distinctive style, Kramer delineates an unforgiving and brutal world. He evokes the banter and sardonic humor of men who have fought together and are prepared to die together. He is equally adept at portraying powerful women. An expert in depicting battles, he varies pace and intensity to maintain interest. Joyce E. McCarthy wrote that review of Warrior of the Altai by Robert Jordan, read by Michael Kramer. It's available from Macmillan Audio for 9.5 hours of unabridged listening. And this is a reminder that you are listening to the February-March issue of Audiophile magazine. It's the magazine that wants you to discover the world of audiobooks. Okay, now we turn our attention to our reviews in biography, memoir, and history. And our first review today is an Earphones winner. And as you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. This Earphones winner is entitled Still Here, The Madcap, Nervy, Singular Life of Elaine Stritch. It's written by Alexandra Jacobs, and it's read by Andrea Burns. And as I said, it's an Earphones winner. Narrator Andrea Burns is amazing. Her performance of New York Times editor Jacobs' charming, well-researched look at the life of actor Elaine Stritch, 1925 to 2014, is at once intelligent, amusing, and illuminating. In her 70-year career, Stritch made her own rules, struggled with alcoholism, won awards, and knew many of the most famous authors, actors, and power brokers of the period. Burns' delivery of the many quotes by the madcap, nervy, singular Stritch is a small miracle. She sounds enough like Stritch to be absolutely convincing while maintaining energetic, credible voices for the many people whose lives Stritch touched. Well-earned name-dropping flows affectionately through Stritch's story, including those of dear friends, work rivals, lovers, composers, producers, and fellow actor celebrities. Wonderfully entertaining listening. That review by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, is of Still Here, The Madcap, Nervy, Singular Life of Elaine Stritch. It's written by Alexandra Jacobs, and it's read by Andrea Burns. It's available from Macmillan Audio for 11.5 hours, unabridged. Our next review is Ordinary Girls by Hakira Diaz, read by Almarie Guerra. A gripping, gorgeous story from start to finish is brought to life by narrator Almarie Guerra. Like author Hakira Diaz, Guerra was born in Puerto Rico and is bilingual. In a smooth, engaging voice that isn't overly theatrical, she brings a balance of spirit and restraint to her delivery of Diaz's electric memoir. The listener follows Diaz from her childhood in the projects in Puerto Rico to her adolescence in Miami Beach and observes her by turns loving but fraught relationship with her family members and friends, her time in juvenile detention, her stint in the Navy, and her political awakening. Diaz's mother, eventually diagnosed with schizophrenia, is a force who deeply influences the narrative. The author writes lyrical prose, and while it's slightly disappointing that she doesn't read it herself, Guerra deftly navigates both its high drama and quieter moments. Sarah Nelson wrote that review of Ordinary Girls. It's by Hakira Diaz, read by Almarie Guerra. It's available from Highbridge Audio for 10 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have Tough Love, My Journey Through the New Culture Wars, written and read by Susan Rice. Former UN Ambassador and Foreign Policy Advisor Susan Rice tells of her professional and personal experiences as she charts her journey to the Clinton and Obama administrations. Narrating her own story, she gives listeners a strong sense of the passions that drove her. Her no-nonsense narration holds a mirror up to every facet of her life, including an unusual childhood and her balancing of parenthood and family life with her passions for international affairs and her career. Rice's narration adds authenticity to the listening experience and allows her warmth and humor to shine. The resulting work provides engaging insights on many historical events on the international stage in recent years. Kate Pullen wrote that review of Tough Love, My Journey Through the New Culture Wars by Susan Rice, read by the author. It's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 22.25 hours unabridged. Our next review in Biography, Memoir, and History is Mobituaries, Great Lives Worth Reliving by Mo Rocca, read by the author, and it's an Earphones winner. Author Mo Rocca's engaging narration makes it obvious that he is delightfully obsessed with underappreciated dead people, celebrities, politicians, and others whose lives he describes with a seemingly endless supply of interesting facts and observations. With a flinty, clear voice and colorful phrasing that is in a league with the best of his naturally enthusiastic performance, enhances the drama and entertainment value of his excellent research and tight storytelling. He draws the audiobook's format from his popular podcast of the same name. Both provide concise life summaries of the type you'd hear right after a person dies. Colorful and full of ironic humor, this work will make you smile and think. It's a showcase for the author's finely tuned insights about people, sensitivity to cultural context, and narrating talent. Thomas Walken wrote that review of Mobituaries, Great Lives Worth Reliving, written and read by Mo Rocca, and it's an Earphones winner, from Simon & Schuster Audio for 8 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have Medallion Status, True Stories from Secret Rooms, written and read by John Hodgman, and it's an Earphones winner. Boston-born, Yale-educated humorist, writer, actor John Hodgman has been blessed with a voice that makes him sound like a world-renowned authority and an nincompoop at the same time. It's a wonderful combination. In his fifth book, Hodgman takes on the dogged pursuit of airline bonus miles, the trappings of post-fame when one isn't quite as recognizable as one once was, and the fine art of faking competence. Hodgman even takes a pointed and politically insightful detour to Mar-a-Lago. Best of all, he gleefully and sincerely discusses his favorite breakfast meat, scrapple. It warms this reviewer's heart to hear that someone so famous loves scrapple so much. A must listen for all those who appreciate breakfast and comic genius. Brian Price wrote that review of Medallion Status, True Stories from Secret Rooms, written and read by John Hodgman. It's an Earphones winner, and it's available from Penguin Audio for 8.25 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have Alan Cumming, Legal Immigrant. Alan Cumming wrote it and reads it. Take a front row seat at the Minetta Lane Theater in New York City for this live performance by an incomparable showman, Alan Cumming. In his latest cabaret show, Cumming alternates between heartfelt monologues in his delightful Scottish brogue and a Broadway-style singing accompanied by a superb quartet. Always entertaining, he offers perceptive insights on what it meant to him to be a naturalized American citizen, especially as he grows older. Cumming doesn't shy away from politics, and his storytelling about his own life can be on the R-rated side, but his natural charm and sense of humor shine. The audiobook concludes with thought-provoking interviews with several other immigrants. Bravo, Alan. Joanne Simoneau wrote that review of Alan Cumming, Legal Immigrant, written and read by Alan Cumming. It's available from Audible, Inc. for 2.75 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is Notre Dame, A Short History of the Meaning of Cathedrals, written and read by Ken Follett. Ken Follett doesn't usually narrate his own works, something many will regret after listening to this fine performance of this short audiobook history of Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. Written in response to 2019's devastating fire, Follett's narrative has a personal investment lacking in many histories and at the same time a factual authority absent in many narratives based on a contemporary event. Just over an hour long, this historical essay is a series of brief chapters on cathedral building, the career of Victor Hugo, Charles de Gaulle's return to Paris in 1944, and more. Informative, enlightening glimpses of a rich history are performed with deep affection and skill. David Walton wrote that review of Notre Dame, A Short History of the Meaning of Cathedrals, written and read by Ken Follett. It's available from Penguin Audio for 1 hour of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Cartiers, The Untold Story of the Family Behind the Jewelry Empire. It's written by Francesca Cartier-Briquel, and it's an Earphones winner, read by Hattie Morahan. Elegance and grace are personified in the Cartier name, and suitably in the narration of this lengthy but fascinating history of the celebrated family of jewelers. British actress Hallie Morahan may not yet be a familiar voice, but she is a natural for the medium and is sure to win many fans with her subtle and expressive performance here. Written by a member of the Cartier family, the narrative comes rich with oral history and first-hand anecdotes about famous jewels and their equally famous buyers. It's the stuff dreams are made of, showcased to brilliant effect by this talented performer. David Walton wrote that review of The Cartiers, The Untold Story of the Family Behind the Jewelry Empire. It's written by Francesca Cartier-Briquel, and it's an Earphones winner, read by Hallie Morahan. It's available from Random House Audio for 23.25 hours, unabridged. Our next review is Sontag, Her Life and Work. It's by Benjamin Moser, and it's read by Tavia Gilbert. Tavia Gilbert's narration is empathetic as she conveys the considerable drama in Susan Sontag's life. Sontag was one of the most interesting thinkers of her time, and Benjamin Moser's intimate biography helps listeners understand how she created and recreated herself. Gilbert does not attempt to create voices for the many friends, enemies, and relatives who are quoted, but it is still fairly easy to keep track of where quotations begin and end. Moser is not afraid of drawing a true picture of Sontag's thoughts and life, both of which were extraordinarily complex. By providing a rounded picture of the woman, he allows listeners to gain a deeper understanding of both. David M. Harris wrote that review of Sontag, Her Life and Work by Benjamin Moser, read by Tavia Gilbert, available from Harper Audio for 22 hours unabridged. Finally, today we have Michelangelo, God's Architect, the story of his final years and greatest masterpiece. It's written by William E. Wallace, and it's an Earphones winner, read by Simon Callow. Michelangelo's most productive years were his last 20, from age 70 to 89. Simon Callow's magnificent basso profundo voice recounts the many projects this prolific sculptor, artist, and architect designed and executed. Callow's gravelly voice reaches even deeper tones as he reads from the irascible Michelangelo's letters, poems, and journals. From St. Peter's Basilica to the statues of Leah and Rachel, from fresco to stone cutting, listeners learn of Michelangelo's boundless energy and creativity. His dealings with Vasari, author of Lives of the Artists, other artists, popes, and the tenor tones of Medici's are deftly delivered in a variety of tones, while Catherine de' Medici is a definite contralto. Callow uses sottovoce for explanatory asides and footnotes, each word illuminating the multifaceted accomplishments of this renowned Renaissance artist. Note, a PDF with black and white photographs of Michelangelo's sculptures and architecture is included. Miriam B. Kahn wrote that review of Michelangelo, God's Architect, the story of his final years and greatest masterpiece. It's written by William E. Wallace, an Earphones winner, read by Simon Callow. It's available from Princeton University Press for 8.75 hours, unabridged. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when you'll hear our regular feature, Listening With. This time we'll hear about children's book author and illustrator Matt Tavares from Agunquit, Maine. We'll follow that with reviews in contemporary culture, including a review of Eating the Sun by Ella Frances Sanders, an Earphones winner, read by Imogen Church. So until that time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.